Welcome to the series, The Role of Business in Society, sponsored by Koch Industries on WTOP.com. I'm your host, John Gilroy, and my guest today is Kylie Stupka, president of Youth Entrepreneurs. Today, we're going to talk about how youth entrepreneurs can set students up for success in life. Wow. You know, youth entrepreneurs, you know, Kylie, if I was sitting in a metro next to you and you told me you work for that organization, I would think of guys in T-shirts in Silicon Valley or something. So tell me from your perspective, what's a youth entrepreneur?
Yeah. So first of all, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on the show. Youth entrepreneurs is really has defined entrepreneurship a little bit differently than that which you just the picture that you just painted, right? So we are really helping students looking internally, helping them develop their innate skills so that they can, you know, really kind of build upon those passions and contribute to society. So it's a little bit different of a definition when you're talking about entrepreneurship within the Youth Entrepreneurs curriculum. Again, we're trying to help them determine where it is they see their unique fit in life and how it is they can use entrepreneurial thinking to solve problems. So we like to define entrepreneurship as solving problems for profit, and we're doing that through and with students traditionally in the high school and middle school education space.
Solving problems sounds like a classic economic definition, doesn't it? It's only Adam Smith would write that or not, but that's what it is, solving problems, creative solving problems.
That's it. That's what we're trying to do. And we do interweave a lot of economic concepts into the class. Our students are learning about sunk costs and opportunity costs, and they're learning about things that help them understand how it is they can make decisions and how it is they can really kind of look at a solution holistically. So you kind of hit the nail on the head. We're very much influenced by those types of economists, but we're also influenced by sociology and other really interesting theories of human action that allow for us to kind of build a curriculum around those ideas. So it's not just your traditional kind of here's how you start a business and here's the practical skills and tools that you need to do so, although those are intertwined. It's very much about kind of the theory and the mindset and how it is you can approach any type of opportunity through this lens, whether it be just in kind of decision-making at home or decision-making within whatever, you know, type of situation or institution you find yourself in at that moment.
So if you're training a high school student to creatively solve problems, it seems to me that it can produce changes not only in the mindset of entrepreneurship, but it can have many different levels of application as well, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I love to talk about certain of our students who've, success might look like the student who comes to class wearing the ankle bracelet because they've made some poor decisions in life that has never really participated in anything. It's really kind of just taken a wrong path to where, you know, by the end of the session or the end of the kind of experiential, maybe it's a pit trading floor, maybe it's some sort of experiential session within this classroom setting, you see the student participating, you see them kind of determining that they can contribute, they can add value, and those types of things. Or the student who, you know, works in the mall, at the sports store, who starts to embrace the concepts that he's learning within the Youth Entrepreneurs curriculum and quickly, like over the course of just a few weeks, becomes kind of moves up the ranks and becomes manager of the organization just by the recognition of his, you know, leaders and supervisors in the ability that he's able to kind of see problems, seek out solutions, and solve them. And so it's these types of success stories that really do prove and point to the fact that you can kind of leverage an entrepreneurial mindset through any facet of whatever it is that you're doing. Fast forward to today, and you see, you know, nearly 30% of our students that really are starting businesses. So they are solving problems through that business start. But then you also see several of them that are just really kind of changing the minds and hearts of the people around them by introducing these concepts well beyond our classroom. So we've got some exciting things, really great things happening with our students, and it goes kind of, you know, well beyond just kind of the business side of things.
You know, Kylie, you're based in Kansas, and we're here in Washington, D.C., and a part of the community here is the Redskins. They have a tie-in with this organization, don't they?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really excited. Yes, we're based in Kansas, and we were founded and formed here nearly 30 years ago in 1991. But as of the last several years, you know, maybe just three, I think it was in 2015, we started our push for a national presence. We've decided that the success stories that I alluded to earlier and the many, many others that exist in our over 30,000 alum are well worth kind of pushing forward with this type of education to well beyond kind of just Kansas where we started. So, you know, one of our exciting new partnerships and opportunities lies with and through the Redskins, given their charitable foundation and the work that they do through the education system. They are doing such great work. They're working with fitness programs and reading programs and even putting clothes, washers and dryers in schools to help with kind of the homeless population having kind of clean clothes to be able to feel confident at school. These types of things, coupled with our kind of thought process on how it is you can kind of lift people up through entrepreneurship, is just kind of a marriage made in heaven, and we're excited to be able to partner with them to introduce the Youth Entrepreneurs Program and curriculum to the DCV area schools. They've kind of jumped on board recognizing the great work that we do and how there's some really positive synergies. And, of course, you know, being charged with becoming a national organization from our board really meant somehow, some way, we need to be in the nation's capital and the surrounding area there. So I'm thrilled to be working with them to make that happen.
I'll tell you what I'm thrilled by, 30,000 over, I mean, that's quite a number. That's a lot of people you've impacted.
Yeah, no, it is. It is quite a number. And I mean, you know, what I love to talk about and kind of going back to the earlier conversation is that a good portion of them are starting business and employing people, and they're being innovative and they're thinking creatively. They're creating value for others through kind of seeing the need and the opportunities in their communities. But there's the rest of that population plus, right, that is, again, really doing great things, leveraging the concepts in our classroom. In fact, I'll tell you, you know, quick other anecdote of a couple of, we've got two female participants, one who took the class years ago, 20 years ago, one of our very first participants, and one that just graduated from a class in Dallas, Texas, both of whom have now gone on to become trained in our curriculum to be able to start their own nonprofits in their areas, one in Houston and one in Baton Rouge, to introduce their communities to the principals. They were so deeply impacted by what it is they were learning and applying, and the ability to think differently about situations, their ability to understand the economic concepts, their ability to leverage kind of all of those things to be able to make a difference in their communities. And so, you know, not only, again, do we have of those 30,000 plus alumni, they've got this, there's this ripple effect, right, of these students that are really kind of taking the ideas to the masses. And so beyond starting businesses and working with principled entrepreneurships and principled entrepreneurs and their businesses, they're introducing principled entrepreneurship to their, you know, nonprofit communities as well.
And that's kind of a phrase that is easy to say but difficult to define. So all these 30,000 alumni have been exposed to principled entrepreneurship. So what do you mean by that phrase?
Yeah, so you know, we truly believe that entrepreneurship is, again, seeking and solving problems for gain, for some sort of gain, but doing it through a set or a lens that consists of some pretty, we think, predominant foundational values. The Youth Entrepreneurs Curriculum is established upon 8 foundational values, and those values stem from responsibility to opportunity obsession to passion to knowledge and knowledge seeking to looking for a win-win focus. And so if those values are kind of wrapped into your kind of pursuit of solutions, and you're doing so, you know, in a win-win situation, creating value for someone else by kind of looking at how it is that you can also benefit, there then is this principled, very kind of ethical approach to solving that problem, rather than kind of asking for favor, or rather than, you know, gaming a system, or in some other way, you know, kind of negatively contributing to that idea. So our students are understanding that being principled in your approach and, you know, really kind of understanding how high level of character can really kind of catapult you consciously forward is, you know, something that we take pride in knowing that our students have at least been introduced to and for the most part have mastered.
You know, there was a TV show called Parks and Recreation, and the first season it talked about a vacant lot. That was the premise of the show, started off talking about a vacant lot. But when you talk about a vacant lot, you're not talking about a TV show at all. So what do you mean when you talk about vacant lots?
You know, I love that you asked that question. I want to talk a little bit about the pedagogy that goes into the classroom and you know, what we're doing in these classrooms looks a lot different than what you see in your traditional classroom in that students are experiencing what they're learning. You know, so for instance, they may be popping up a market in a market day in their school and selling products, or they might be rapid prototyping through a game we call Paper Airplane to understand how it is you rapid prototype, fail fast, fail cheap, just some of these kind of concepts. But the vacant lot project's one of my favorites, and it's one of our newest ones, actually. One of our educators introduced us to the idea, and we've now introduced it kind of to our nearly 500 educators that are working in our space now today. Basically what we're saying is, hey, let's take these kids and let's walk around their communities and let's show them that what they see and grapple with every single day could be a vacant lot or a boarded up building, that really what that is presenting them with is opportunity. If we can shift the mindset of the student from seeing this thing that you know, has caused them discomfort, if we can change their mindset from seeing it as a problem to seeing it kind of what it could be, to looking kind of well beyond what this empty field could be. We've had students that have envisioned and then gone worked with communities to take the empty field and make it a market space or a marketplace or a soccer field, or, you know, how is it that you can look through this lens of solutions rather than look through the lens of problems, and how is it that you can really you know, put yourself in this place of being part of the solution rather than requesting that somebody else take responsibility for it, right? And so we get really excited with students who, you know, walk around their communities and then come back and ideate around the innovative ways they could change that vacant lot and make that vacant lot something really kind of productive and help contribute to their areas and again, be a part of the solution rather than really kind of hoping for somebody else to take care of the problem. Again, it's one of my favorites, right? So I get pretty excited when we see some of the kids' ideas and hear some of the great things that are happening in communities as a result of the project.
And, you know, I've been involved in many, many business meetings over the year with big companies and small companies. And usually there's a group of people in a room and someone says, well, we have this problem here. Anyone in the room got an idea to solve it? And most people are reluctant to contribute. Either they lack confidence, but people normally don't think they're very smart. But what happens is, if you're in a classroom as a high school student, if you rehearse and practice creative solving problems, when you're put in a larger organization and you're presented with a problem, it could be a technical problem, it could be a financial problem, you can have a confidence to offer a solution, and that's what leaders do.
Yeah, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. And another statistic that I'll throw out there that we've seen as a result of being a part of our program is just an interesting, and it has, you're going to think, what does this have to do with confidence? Well, you know, a lot of our students come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, and a lot of them maybe, if they do kind of get into college, first-time college or post-secondary education attendees, as a result, for the most part, that demographic does not tend to be able to make it through and graduate from post-secondary ed. We're seeing in our students this confidence and this real ability to have grit and passion and power through, that we've increased that percentage in our students when compared to a cohort by 20%. So you're seeing so much more confidence to not only kind of, you know, challenge the status quo within whatever business they're doing, but to just really kind of stick to what they know is the right thing, to be able to get up and present on behalf of themselves or on behalf of their idea. And so, you know, so many of these kind of critical thinking skills and confidence building experiments are just really kind of having to be pushed by the wayside today as a result of needing to ensure that we've, you know, covered all of our core topics, and we've covered all of our standardized testing areas, right? And so by giving the students the relevance behind those areas, they then figure out how to kind of put that all together and how it can benefit themselves, which thereby then allows for them to be extremely confident in all of the decisions that they make going forward.
You know, I keep thinking of confidence and success in life, success in relationships, success in business. You know, in the early 1960s, a guy named Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile. No one had ever done that. It was a major accomplishment. Then, month after month after month, constantly people started breaking the four-minute mile again. So humans could accomplish that, but they needed the confidence to say that, well, if Roger could do it, I could do it too. So in a classroom situation, they see someone like you challenging an idea or come with a creative idea, people are going to reflect and go, well, you know, if Kylie can do it, I can do it too. And that sets them up in just the best solution for life. It's really a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We're very proud of our educators who are the ones who are setting these students up for confidence and for the ability to be successful in life, right? So the ripple effect of that educator and the change and transformation towards self-actualization that we're seeing inside the educator is really powerful, a powerful thing. So not only are they seeing it in their peers, but they're learning, they're seeing that there's the humility within their educator is allowing for that educator to also transform beside them. So they're learning in tandem because, again, everything that we're introducing in this class or in this space, in the program, is relevant. It's something that could change and pivot on a dime. And so, you know, not only are these students really kind of hearing from and learning from the student sitting next to them, their educators are also taking this journey alongside of them, and it's been really powerful to allow for that humility again to kind of, you know, creep its way into the educator space and for them to feel like they don't have to be the expert, that they can learn alongside. And then at the end of the day, they too are contributing to the vacant lot, or they too are learning a little bit more about how it is that you can create value through trade, through a pit trading floor, and they too are learning about these ideas. And you know, so obviously the ripple effect, those alum we talked about and the 500 educators that we're working with, the ripple effect of being able to allow for them to think about the way they take on their career differently and giving them the entrepreneurial freedom spans well beyond just the youth entrepreneurs class. And that's what's really exciting about the work that we do with and through the educator in this space is that we know that we're creating a ripple effect that will, you know, definitely have impact well beyond just the 30 classroom count that we know of today, right? And so it's great. It's exciting to see these things kind of changing and transforming the lives of not only the students, but also the adults associated with our program.
Well, Kylie, unfortunately, we're running out of time here. I'd like to thank my guest, Kylie Stupka, President of Youth Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, John Gilroy, and you're listening to the series, The Role of Business in Society, sponsored by Koch Industries on WTOP.com. Yeah, that Roger.